2 Timothy, if you'll turn there, we'll go there. I don't want to do too much current event stuff. I mean, you know how I kind of try not to. But just like with the pandemic, I feel like once you get punched in the face, you got to punch back. Once you have a bunch of voices speaking into your life, you need some truth speaking into your life. And so I do have to do that. I feel responsible to do that. But I don't like harping on current events and current world sins and all that kind of stuff, because otherwise it feels like the world's telling us what to preach. And I am tired of the world pushing the church's buttons.
Amen.
From government control to injustices to everything, you know, pushing the church's buttons. Where is the Lord? When does the Lord get to decide what we do in here? And so I'm fighting for us to make sure that we're following the Lord Jesus Christ and following the Holy Spirit in what we do and say and how we approach things. I don't need to be reactionary to every world event. We're already prepared for every world event. Listen, you and I are supposed to already be prepared for everything life throws at us. And that's what we do all the time in here. So, first of all, whatever happens, whatever we do, let's not let the world's torment into the church. You follow me? Whatever hardship the world's going through, whatever suffering the people of the world are having, let's not let it into the church. The church is a safe place for everybody. Here is where we get restored, we get empowered, and we go change the world. We go be a light to the world. So we have to keep the church perfectly pure. No leaven, no weirdness, and we fight for one another. Not that we're like, don't care about the world. It's just that this is the church first. The Lord Jesus Christ and His people. There's evil out there. There's a virus out there. There's rampant sins against humanity out there. 2 Timothy chapter 3 here, let's read this. Just remind us here where we stand as believers in the Lord, with purpose, with understanding, unafraid of evil tidings. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come.
There you go.
Well, that's the truth. We must be in the last days. We're actually in the last of the last days. Perilous times have come, so it's predicted. Don't marvel at the sins of the world. Don't marvel that the world has gone south. It's going to go souther. The world is going down. It's not going to get better. The country won't get better. The glory of the Lord will rise stronger on the Christians. But gross darkness will cover the earth. Darkness will cover the earth and gross darkness will cover the people, but the glory of the Lord rises upon us. So you have to know what to expect. Creflo Dollar said on Sunday, he started out his message and he said, and reminded of Matthew 24, said, when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, see that you be not troubled. So Mr. and Ms. Christian, you cannot be troubled. Please don't be troubled. We're going to make it. Please don't be troubled. Our mission has not changed. Nothing has changed. The church is secure. The Holy Spirit is still secure. He knows exactly what He's doing with us. He still has a mandate on our life. It's to be a lover and a light to the world. It's to shed the good news. It's to spread the gospel. It's to build the church. It's to do good every time we get a chance. There's nothing that's changed through anything. Matthew 24 also goes on and says, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end will be saved, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. 2 Timothy, back to verse 2, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy, unloving and unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. From such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, laden down with sins, led away by various lusts. These are sins that have weaved their way into society. You have to understand, this is the corruption that unsaved humanity faces. This is what turns people into depraved of the baser sort. The rawest, ugliest nature of humanity is infected because of sin. And it's caused households to be destroyed. It's caused fatherlessness to spread. It's caused promiscuity to run rampant in the earth with no control. Verse 10, but you've carefully followed my doctrine, my manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering. So this is the Christians that follow Paul. Long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things that you've learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you've learned them, and that from childhood you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So all Scripture is given by God to take care of everything, to train us, to correct us, to rebuke us, to edify us, to lift us up, to fix us, to make us good for every good work. Those without Scripture have no antidote. Those without Scripture are on their own until we can get them in the kingdom. You need to know that this is where our heart goes out to every unsaved person. No matter what their plight is, no matter what they've been through, our heart goes out to them because they have no antidote. For their heart hurts, they have no antidote. They're without the answer. Go to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation 12, and this is why you can't be shoved around in what you're thinking and what you're saying and what you're feeling. You can't be shoved around by the government, by the world, by the news media. You can't be shoved around by unsaved people, however well-meaning they are, who don't understand spiritual things. Revelation chapter 12. Verse 9, so the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Hallelujah. All right, so we have an end for the devil. He gets cast down. But notice that he is called the accuser of the brethren, and he's also called the one who deceives the whole world. So the devil has deceived how much of the world? The whole world. That's why it's important for you to get saved out of the world and into the kingdom so that you're not deceived anymore. Amen. How does he deceive people? Well, with lies about ourselves, lies about others, lies about life, lies about himself not being the one who's behind everything. Our war is against the devil, not flesh and blood. Our war is against the devil. It's his deception and lies that poke people and prod people and shove people around into hurting others. I'm against some things in the world. Number one, the devil. Number two, his deception. Number three, his temptations. I don't have to go pick individual sins to be against today. All of the racism and prejudices, I'm against those. Those are from the devil. That play on the unredeemed nature of man. All the bitterness, all the selfishness, all the greed, all the flesh sins, all the obsessions toward unhealthy thought lives. All the developers of every evil thing on media. I'm against these things. It's from the devil. Where do you think people dream up these horror movies? Well, they get them from their mind, which came straight from the devil. They don't even realize it. Some might. All the hopelessness, all the blame, all the anger. It's from the devil. So I'm against the devil. And you and I are supposed to not be ignorant of his strategies and his devices. I'm not going to let my conversation be poked around by the devil. I'm not going to let what I address and what I have to talk about be moved by the devil. I mean, this whole thing that we're dealing with right now is like a perfect storm. You know, people were forced home for 2 or 3 months by the government. People are out of work, half the country. You know, the half that didn't get to keep their jobs and work conveniently from home. They're bored to tears with no money, no direction, no great hope for tomorrow. They were already on the edge, and then now this. Let me go find the passage of Scripture that will bring us up into victory. You can't tackle the world's problems by being a friend of the world and by doing it the world's way on the world's calendar of events. You can't do it. You know, in church here, we spend all year, every year, trying to solve the problems of the human race. That's what we do here. That's what this Word of God is. It's solving problems of the human race. Identifying problems and then giving solutions for the problem. But if you want me to give solutions to problems without Christ, you've come to the wrong place. You want me to talk about stuff like this without Jesus Christ being the answer? You'd be waiting a long time. There's no answer aside from Christ. So that's all we get in here. What does the Lord say? What does he want? What does he expect? What are his answers? And particularly, how does it relate to the church? Ministers are not here to go solve every evil of society. Christians somehow think that it's, or really ministers sometimes think that the goal of being a good minister is to be able to speak into the public. Well, no, I mean, I got mandate from Jesus, said that the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers are supposed to perfect the saints, edify the church, perfect the saints for the work of the ministry. Our job is to build up the church. Fixing the world's evils can only be done if what we do inside the church raises up healthy enough Christians so that they can go be a loving light to the world and get Jesus in the hearts of another one who can come in the church and get raised up, who can get healthy enough in Christ to go be the love and light to another heathen and get them in. That's the way the kingdom's built. That's the mandate for all ministers. Jesus didn't go fight the government. Paul didn't go fight the government. Peter didn't go fight the Constitution. Okay, I'll get off that. But you need to know from a minister standpoint what we're here to do. We're here to do some stuff in the church here. I can't solve prejudice out there. We can solve it in here, though.
Amen.
And when we recognize it in church, you're in trouble. Really? We hadn't heard of it around here much, but probably some. But it's not acceptable. When you become a Christian, you have to change. I mean, 100%. That means you got to let go of your past. You got to let go of your family tradition. You got to let go of your old way. You got to let go of all your hurts from the past. You got to let way of all your insecurities. You got to change all the way.
Right.
It is unacceptable.
Amen.
We have the prejudice police around here who are... No, I'm just kidding. So that's our mandate from here. It's not allowed. Oh, no. And what that requires is that if you find that you have a little in you, you hide it real well until you can repent and get it out of you. I mean it. This is a big deal. The love, you know, when we preach the love of God in here, I'm expecting that you're searching your hearts. When we preach righteousness of Christ, righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, you know, that you're accepted by God, that's supposed to cause you to feel good about yourself enough not to be racist. When we talk about the in Christ realities, it's supposed to give you enough self-security in Christ that you're not insecure. You know, insecurity is the reason why there's prejudices. When you don't feel good about yourself, you're trying to put somebody else down. So you feel, you know, there's all sorts of little weird soulish complexities about it. But the in Christ realities solve your problem. All of a sudden, those who felt low can feel high. Every single person is supposed to be able to. When we preach, be filled with the Holy Spirit and pray in tongues and build yourself up in the Holy Ghost to keep yourself in the love of God, we're expecting that if you're close to the Holy Spirit, you're not living in offense.
Amen.
That you're able to let it roll off your back because you're so full of the love of God. So we spend all year solving these problems without having to address every little specific sin. I don't have to harp on, don't go get an abortion. It's wrong. You know it's wrong. Don't do it. We don't have to harp on sex trafficking and to remind people not to do it. We don't have to ask every person who's been, you know, abused in the past to talk about it. No, we don't have to do that. Because those details are not healthy for us. The Bible says don't even speak about the things done by those in secret.
Right, right.
The details are harmful. They open up old wounds that don't need to be opened. The love of God is able to cure us.
Amen.
And it's the only thing that can cure us.
Thank you.
So we're solving problems all year long. And what that means is if we're not going to like have sermons on every sin, what it means is as we hear the message, we're supposed to be applying it. Searching my soul, making sure I don't have any animosity. I don't have any. I can sit by anybody and love everybody. I don't even see it. I don't even. It's not even a deal to me. We're saved out of it. We didn't get saved in sin. We got saved out of sin. We didn't get saved in the darkness. We got saved out of the darkness into the light. And it's all different in here. That's why it feels so glorious. There's a few people we got to be a little patient on, you know, they're a little stuck. But I'm expecting even the stuck people to come out of it. Turn to Romans chapter 12. I mean, the solution is more. It's got to be more than talking. People say we just want to. You got to talk about it. Look, you could have the best speech. You could have the most perfect speech given by the government and Hollywood and every church and every person give the best speech of all regarding these issues, and it still wouldn't solve the problem.
Amen. Amen.
No way. If you don't have Jesus Christ and the means of salvation, and then the Holy Spirit, and then the Word of God, and then the love of God explained for people to catch it and let that start working in them, it won't solve anything. We have work to do, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
Romans 12. Romans 12 here, verse, let's start with 9. It says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Don't set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil.
Hallelujah.
Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it's possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. You know, in this topic, you know, I would find everybody that's ever hurt you, and I'd give them one chance to get saved, and then I'd knock their lights out. Every child abused person, I'd love to go to that person and I'd give them a chance. And if not, then they're out. I would be a good Old Testament justice keeper. I've told Joni before, I said, it's a good thing I'm saved because vigilante would be on my list of opportunities. When innocent people are anyway. So I wish I could knock people's lives. Every person that's been racist against you or prejudiced against you or done something ridiculous with little looks and all that stuff you've had to live with your life, I mean, I understand that. I get it. And if I could fight for you, I would. But I got scripture. I can't. Don't repay evil for evil. I can't do it. I wish I could, but I can't do it. And neither can you. You know, there needs to be love. Love does have empathy and tries to put itself in somebody else's shoes. The church needs that too. We need to understand. We need to have some empathy. We need solution. Love has solution as well. Love doesn't just look and think and talk. Love does some stuff. They just can't throw punches. Verse 19, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it's written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing you'll heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So these are our Christian instruction. And in times like this, you don't just throw out all of our Christian instruction. You know, this is it. This is what we've been preparing for. We've been preparing for encounter. Where we can show that we're developed in Christ. You know, without trial, there's no perfection of faith. So let's not marvel at things, and let's not act like the world and think like the world. You know, I don't know. I think people are feeding on media too much. Instead of the Word of God, what's our hobby? Our favorite hobby is media. And so you're just filled with all that, and so it's hard to get out of the river of the world. When you're playing around a raging river, it's hard not to get in it. So if we were just all kind of cooped up in the Word of God and enjoying the Holy Spirit all the time, it'd be a lot easier. And I'm not talking about being a Christian who just puts his head in the sand. I'm talking about a Christian who's effective. Thou shalt watch Fox News a lot. Thou shalt stay connected, so thou shalt know what to do, what's going on in the world. Part of the problem is knowing what's going on in the world. You can't even handle your little neighborhood, much less the world. I've said that many times before. You can't handle the world's crisis. You can't handle your family crisis. You can't solve your business's problems, much less the nation's problems. We're not really supposed to know all the evils that are happening in the world. How filled with garbage are we? That's why you know the story of Smith Wigglesworth. I know some of you studied him, but he was a man of faith and power that really had a walk with God that we want. He just did it well. He was one that found the Lord in such a way that it caused great success in his life. Great spiritual success. You can just read any chapter of any book of his and it's like, whoa, whoa. And your head goes, now that rings true in here. That man knew something. Well, one of the stories is that in his older age, he was living at home by himself. And so Lester Sumrall, who was a young preacher, went to go visit him. He was one of the only person that he knew was visiting Smith Wigglesworth at an old age and learning some things and letting Brother Wigglesworth talk to him. And one day, Lester said, I showed up with my newspaper in England. This is during World War II even. He said, I showed up with my newspaper under my arm and I knocked at the door and Smith Wigglesworth opened the door and he said, what's that? He said, well, it's my paper. He says, you'll have to leave that outside. He said, why? He said, because I don't let those lies into my home. Brother Sumrall said, well, don't you want to know what's going on in the world? You know, regarding the war and all? And Brother Wigglesworth said, Hitler and Mussolini will soon be in hell where they belong. But I do not fill my mind with such things as that. He said, if I were to read that, I would feel dirtier coming out than when I went in. So I just don't go in. It is impossible to be a healthy enough Christian that can bear fruit if we carry offense. If I carry your offense, I can't be a healthy Christian. You know, you can carry other people's offense and be mad and let it eat you up. I've known of people that left churches because they were mad about something that happened to their child, daughter, brother, mother, father, spouse, and then had to come back and repent. And it's like, well, I didn't even know you were mad. Well, yeah, I was mad because you did something, you said something, you did. I'd like to say it was some other place, but anyway. Praise the Lord. So no offense is allowed in the Christian. That's perfect scripture. I mean, no bitterness, no offense. The word offense is the word scandalon. It's where you get scandal from, you know. And technically or literally that word means a bait stick. The word offense means a bait stick. It's a trap, a snare, any impediment placed in the way and causing one to stumble or fall. So just decide, Satan, I won't take your bait stick. So I have to get over my feelings of punching people for your sake even, you know. Anger is the first step towards hate. Hate brings murder. And so you can't be angry. Technically, you can be angry, but you can't sin. The scripture says, be angry and sin not. There are some unrighteous things that happen in the world that make us angry. It's okay. We're kind of angered. I get that. But don't sin. Be careful what you say. Be careful what you type. Or Brother Brian's going to take away your Facebook account. Don't sin. Don't let yourself, you know, you don't get to sit there and water the seed of anger. It'll ruin you. Some people punish others when they're angry. Some people punish themselves when they're angry. You know, substance abuse, cutters, self-loathing, depression, all that kind of stuff. Some people just punishing themselves. There's only one solution for all of it. What's that solution? Jesus Christ and a high commitment to Him. Sold out to the Lord and the Holy Spirit and all things holy. And if you don't know, listen, if you have not yet developed in the love of God, it's a journey you have to go through. You have to go through the door and let the Lord start weeding out everything. You need to do it with Scripture. You need to do it with these love passages. You need to do it with the Holy Spirit. You need to do it with praying in tongues. I'm talking about help me, God. Holy Spirit, help me with the love of God. I mean, come on, enlarge me with the love of God. I want to be so full of love, God. And then pray in tongues until you sense it. It might take you a few days, a week, or whatever. I remember in my early walk with the Lord, I recognized something in my life because I was all zealous. And I said, Lord, I have a lot of faith, I can tell. I mean, I believe it, man. I'm going after it like a bulldog. And I got lots of hope. I mean, the sky was the limit. I thought all things were possible. Oh, they are. They are. So I knew I had faith. I said, Lord, I have faith and I have hope, but I think I'm missing love. I can't say that I have the love that I need. You know, three things abide now: faith, hope, and love, and the greatest is love. I said, I need some love. Can you help me with the love? I need some more love. And I just asked that in a very humble, expectant, you know, just recognizable way. And within just a couple weeks, I saw a big difference in my life. The first time I noticed, I was in Atlanta, Georgia. I was walking into work outside the office building, and I'm walking down the sidewalk, and somebody's passing me, and I can't remember if it was a male or a female, and I thought, oh, I love them. The next person, I was like, oh, I felt this supernatural care for them. Tonight, I'm looking up at the stage during the singing, feeling love. Same love. Supernatural love. You got to develop it. You got to go in there. You got to let the Lord weed out all of your insecurities, weed out all of your offenses, weed out all of your selfishness. You know, some people say, well, just be yourself. Well, be yourself unless self is bitter and selfish and self-centered and inconsiderate and angry and bitter and all those weird words. Be yourself. No, really, really don't be yourself for a long, long time until you get the in Christ realities in your heart and find out who you really are in Him. Until God takes you over, stop being yourself. Just go ahead and pretend like you're like Jesus. Be like Jesus until that battle is won. You know the old story. They say it was an Indian chief who God saved. I don't know. It could be a fabricated story, but Indian chief got saved, and the missionary went back the next year to check on him. He said, "How you doing?" The Indian chief that got saved said, "He said, oh, big fight, big fight, big fight. I'm in a big fight." The missionary said, no, we're Christians. We're not supposed to fight. He goes, no, big fight inside me. White dog and black dog fighting inside, fighting inside. And then the missionary said, which dog wins the fight usually? He said, whichever dog I feed the most. You have a choice of what to feed your mind and your heart. You're going to have to spend time with the Lord, with the Spirit, with the Word of God, and with Christians. And part of it is, you know, you don't get perfected in the love walk until you hang around people. You don't get perfected in the love walk, maturing in Christ, unless you're at church. It's church people that you get to practice your love walk with the most. Out in the world with strangers, you can be nice. At work, you can usually be pretty nice. Just keep it to yourself. You don't have to see them very long anyway. But for those that you see at church that you have a commitment to in the Lord, all of a sudden now we got to hang out together. And all of a sudden you got to get over the stuff that I said that was wrong. And we got to like each other and love each other just like you do with natural family. Natural family, you're at home and you're living a life of friction together. Especially during the pandemic, I think everybody's like, can we please get out of here? You know, adult. Anyway. The love of God can't be perfected in you unless you're with Christians and you're working together and striving together for the faith of the gospel and doing some gospel things together. And then you can also practice at work as well. I mean, the love of God is supposed to go out to the world as well. It's just you don't feel as accountable sometimes to the world. All right, are we in a scripture anywhere? Okay, let's go to 1 John chapter 3 and maybe we're almost done. Or have we just got started? So in the church, we have to beware of anger and where hate might sneak up on you. Proverbs 14 says, a wise man fears the Lord and shuns evil, but a fool is hot-headed and reckless. A quick-tempered man does foolish things, and a crafty man is hated. An angry man stirs up dissension, and a hot-tempered one commits many sins. Here's another one from Matthew 5. I'll just read this to you. You have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder, and whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. This is Jesus talking. He says, but I say to you that everyone who's angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. Everyone who's angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. Of course, that would be angry without a cause, another scripture says. And, you know, it's okay to be angry for unrighteous stuff that's happened, but don't sin. But anyway, it says, everyone who's angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court, and whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever says, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. Losing our temper is a sin. Contempt for others is a sin. Any feelings of superiority or anything that belittles another is a sin. Or insults others, it's a sin. Amen. Name calling is a sin. The scripture says if you call anybody a fool, that'd be like calling somebody a moron. So don't let your children get into that, even if you're just joking around. I remember when I was in the world, we used to say that fool was a word that we used when somebody did something dumb or when we were upset with somebody or something like that. Sometimes it was in fun, sometimes it wasn't. Don't use the word fool and don't use the word moron. James 1 says, the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Now let's move on to hatred because anger will lead to hatred. Go to 1 John chapter 3. You know, the Old Testament command, thou shalt not murder, sixth command, don't murder. Really, if you think about it, one of the reasons it's so terrible is that it's a broken relationship. What you're doing is you're breaking completely a relationship. And one thing the Lord loves is unity among the brethren. Right. So when Cain killed Abel, that was like the worst thing ever. The first prejudice, the first antagonistic act is the worst thing ever because it breaks a completely God-ordained relationship between two humans. He loves it when humans connect. You have to know that God loves humans to connect. Remember the six things the Lord hates? a proud look, a lying tongue, a forward mouth, hands that shed innocent blood, those that are swift in running to mischief, and he that sows discord among the brethren. He hates those things. What does the Lord hate? Those who sow discord among the brethren. He loves connected people because we're connected to him. He hates it when we're not connecting, and murder is the ultimate disconnect. And usually comes from anger. Not always, but usually. First John chapter 3, verse 14 says, "We know that we've passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death." Notice that. We know that we've passed from death to life because we love the brethren. You know, what do you mean pass from death to life? This is one clear scripture. We have a list of things that help you know if you're saved or not. There's scriptures that tell us that we're saved or not. You know, John even said, "I write these things so that you will know that you have eternal life." So you know that you have eternal life by the Holy Spirit. He gives you a witness in here. But here's the other way, and it's similar. We know we've passed from death to life. We know we're saved. We know we're born again. We know we're out of darkness into the kingdom because we love Christians. Because we love the brethren. It don't matter who the brethren is. It don't matter where they're from. We love the brethren. We travel around the world. We love the brethren everywhere. Amen. There's a special something between the brethren.
Amen.
Of course, you have a love for the human race. I mean, we're all from one person.
Amen.
We're all the same.
Amen.
The whole thing's embarrassingly ridiculous to be against somebody because of the color of their skin. Or their height or where they're from. It's ridiculous. So we know we pass from death to life because we love the brethren. And I love the brethren more than everything else. I love the brethren more than my home country. I mean, if you've never traveled around the world, it'll break you from some of your stuff, your flag waving stuff.
Amen.
Really. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. You have to be careful about bitterness in your heart, anger in your heart. All of a sudden, you wish they were just gone. Now you're dabbling with murder. Now you're going completely against the new birth of a regenerated heart. Now you're dabbling with the devil. You're playing with the devil. When there's hate in the heart. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. You know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him?
Yeah.
And this is where we recognize that we're not only talking about brethren in the church, which it's primarily talking about, we're also talking about fellow humans. Fellow humans. What good can we do? I would say let's find a way that the world's not doing. The world can do the world's way. We got to do something a little different. So what good do we have that the world needs? Well, that would be Jesus. Can we please start with Jesus? Can we please start with crank up the heat on our own witnessing? Can we please start with recognizing that every soul out there is hurting in some way? No matter who they are, everybody's hurting out there if they don't have Jesus. Let's get Jesus to them. Can we start there? We have what this world needs. We have the world, this good. We have something good. It would be wrong if we didn't tell our neighbor. And as I'm preaching, I'm thinking about my next door neighbor. It's like, I know. I got to talk to him. And that what's happening to you? We got to talk to him.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at houstonfaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.